The FAA picks a lead contractor for ADS-B. American's CEO says growth at JFK is just getting started. And AOPA rebuts airline claims that airspace and private jets are the issues. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 31st, 2007. The Federal Aviation Administration announced on Thursday, ITT Corporation of White Plains, New York, has been selected by the agency as the prime contractor for a vital part of its next-generation air traffic control system, Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B. The 18-year, $1.8 billion contract requires ITT to have the system ready for use by 2010 and deployed nationwide by 2013. Along with air traffic displays, ADS-B also gives pilots graphical weather information, terrain maps, and flight information, including temporary flight restrictions and notices to airmen. Based on GPS technology and transponder signals from participating aircraft, ADS-B is nearly 10 times more accurate than radar. The FAA says it will allow controllers and pilots to know the precise location of aircraft, resulting in more direct flight routes and airspace efficiency, reduced delays, and improved safety. ITT will build the ground stations and own and operate the equipment. The FAA will pay subscription charges for its use. ITT has identified more than a dozen other corporations which will participate in development. ITT is a leading U.S. defense contractor, as well as a world leader in equipment for pumping sewage. All I can say is ADS-B better work or the jokes are going to be brutal. As U.S. airline travelers prepare for what could be the worst Labor Day weekend delays ever, American Airlines cut the ribbon Wednesday on a new terminal building at New York JFK Airport. JFK is already in the top three U.S. airports for late arrivals, according to DOT figures, and American Airlines hopes to grow its passenger traffic there another 50%. American CEO Gerald Arpey told reporters Wednesday that at JFK, quote, "We have got lots of opportunity for growth. I think we are just getting started," unquote. To be fair, Arpey expects the new terminal, which will better serve international travelers, to get some of that increased traffic at the expense of JFK stalwarts Delta and JetBlue, rather than actually increasing overall aircraft operations at JFK. But Delta and JetBlue are building or refurbishing terminals too and don't plan to lose any business to American. In contrast, Arpey also announced plans for the airline to reduce its flight schedule at two of its busiest hubs, Dallas-Fort Worth and Chicago O'Hare, in an effort to curb delays there. The New York Sunday Times quoted Air Transport Association spokesman David Castelvetter saying, quote, "You can have all the concrete you want. It's when you're up in the air that you have a space problem," unquote. Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association President Phil Boyer responds that the industry is in denial. Quote, "Congress, the FAA, and the entire aviation community have long recognized that runway capacity is the major factor limiting the ability to deal with the exploding number of airline flights at hub airports," unquote. In testimony before Congress in May, FAA Administrator Marion Blakey pointed to the $1.7 billion spent on runway capacity by the FAA at congested airports since 2000 and said, quote, "These 13 new runway projects have provided these airports with the potential to accommodate 1.6 million more annual operations," unquote. ALPA notes that despite the FAA doubling the airspace available to airliners through reduced vertical separation minima in 2005, even the Air Transport Association predicts severe delays this Labor Day weekend. One factor increasing congestion at airline hubs is the use of more small planes by the airlines. Bombardier is counting on that trend to continue. The company announced on Wednesday it will increase production capacity for its CRJ-700 and CRJ-900 regional jets by recalling some workers furloughed in October and reducing the build time per jet from 5 days to 4. Bombardier says its backlog has swelled 38% since the beginning of the fiscal year to a record $18.2 billion. That's according to United Press International. The company also posted a $71 million second quarter loss on Wednesday due to a write-off of its 20% stake in the collapsed Metronet consortium. That organization was responsible for maintaining and operating London's underground train network. Up next on ANN, a pilot remains in jail on a year-old charge in Florida. Eclipse Aviation confirms details of Wednesday's chemical release. And Lockheed tells the Pentagon it needs more money for JSF. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 31st, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A quick program note, Monday is Labor Day in the U.S. and we'll be on a special holiday schedule with our AeroCasts. Our Aero Briefing and the Aero News special feature will both have the day off. However, our short form Touch and Go will still be here to keep you up to date on the day's top stories. A Florida pilot remains jailed more than a year after he allegedly flew his Piper Seminole in the path of an Embraer ERJ-170 at the Kendall-Tamiami Executive Airport during the jet's attempts to land there, not once, but three times. According to the Miami Herald, 49-year-old airport activist Bancroft Schaefer faces three counts of reckless operation of an aircraft. Miami-Dade police say Schaefer took off the night of May 6, 2006, but failed to maintain communication with the tower. And while air traffic controllers tried repeatedly to contact the pilot, all attempts failed. The arrest report says Schaefer then flew his smaller plane within 100 feet of the jet, forcing the Embraer pilot to take evasive action to avoid a collision, and that the jet pilot, quote, immediately requested assistance from the tower as each successive landing attempt was thwarted, unquote. Investigators are still trying to determine what motivated Schaefer, a 20-year pilot and owner of the Silver Express Flight School and FBO, to endanger himself, the jet crew, and neighbors on the ground. The county is proposing a runway expansion at the airport, and Schaefer is said to have been a vocal supporter. Eclipse Aviation spokesman Andrew Broom has confirmed that Wednesday night's incident at the company's final assembly building involved the accidental discharge of one, possibly two, Fostrex fire suppressant canisters on the production line. 15 workers were exposed to the chemical, six were taken to the hospital as a precaution. Those workers were treated and released. Inventor Peter Holland offered that technology to Boeing and Airbus, among others, before Eclipse Aviation purchased the rights to use the system in 2005. The Fostrex fire suppression system uses phosphorus tribromide as its active fire extinguishing agent. The substance is far less toxic than earlier halon-based extinguishers and weighs a tenth as much. Though deemed environmentally safe, phosphorus tribromide may cause corrosion to metal and irritation to exposed skin. The chemical becomes inert when exposed to water and does not lead to ozone depletion. Eclipse received the EPA's 2007 Stratospheric Ozone Protection Award for the development of Fostrex. Lockheed Martin is seeking Defense Department approval to reduce the number of personnel, aircraft, and flights used to test its F-35 Joint Strike Fighter because the program is over budget. Lockheed has told the DoD it needs to replenish a contractually required reserve fund being depleted quickly due to reasons such as delays with engineers' drawings, supplier cost increases, problems with the wing assembly, and weight issues. The failure and subsequent redesign of a critical electronic part grounded the test program in May and has been particularly costly. Bloomberg reports the original contract for the 12-year development and test phase was about $20 billion, and Lockheed Martin was supposed to maintain a management reserve fund of about 10% of that amount, or $2 billion. The fund is now down to about $392 million. The reserve is usually used to fix problems that arise during the test phase of development. Without the reserve, Congress has to be pestered for additional funding every time there's a problem, and that leads to political opportunities for program opponents. As ANN reported, the multi-billion-dollar JSF is an ambitious program, not just in terms of money, The F-35 is the first military aircraft to be produced by an international coalition of 8 nations to design, finance, build, and sell the jet. This required sensitive information sharing, investment of large amounts of capital, and working together for the greater good by all nations. Lockheed wants to replace some test flights and 2 of 14 test aircraft with simulator work. DoD will have to make that particular risk-reward decision. Bloomberg says program cost estimates have ballooned from $233 billion in 2001 to $299 billion today. When production begins, a total of 8 nations have said they want a total of more than 2,400 Joint Strike Fighters. Gerald Grinstein said from the start of Delta Airways' bankruptcy that he'd step down as CEO when the carrier emerged from Chapter 11. Observers had a short list of insiders they considered likely successors. One of them was 39-year-old Jim Whitehurst, who was widely praised for his role in holding company morale together through the hostile takeover attempts mounted by U.S. Airways. But Whitehurst didn't get the job. Delta's board instead chose former Northwest CEO Richard Anderson. Now, Whitehurst has announced he's leaving Delta for other opportunities. Delta management is wishing him well and even loosening some of the restrictions on the estimated $8 million incentive package that he earned for staying through bankruptcy, allowing him to take some of it with him. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the incentives would have vested over several years and depended in part on Delta's performance. The paper reports that new CEO Anderson plans immediate moves to improve commuter carrier service and Delta's international business class product by sprucing up seats, cabins, and airport lounges. Anderson officially takes over the post on Saturday. Grinstein will stay on as a consultant to help him for 1 year. Still ahead, Iraq's pilots fly their first mission without coalition help. The LSA market gets its 57th entrant. And 40 Civil Air Patrol members in Ohio are identified as sandbaggers. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 31st, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Aero News has learned the Iraqi Air Force flew its first mission without the assistance of American forces last weekend. Brigadier General Sadi, who has to be identified only by his last name, is commander of the Iraqi Air Force's Taji Wing. He reports Iraqi pilots flew a mission to survey and monitor the power lines in Iraq in a mission called Operation Powerline on August 25th. Quote, "We did our duties today for the very first time, and it was a 100% Iraqi mission," unquote. He announced the mission at a partnership dinner later that day between the Iraqi Air Force and the U.S. Army's 1st Air Cavalry Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division. U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Brian Bartlett, commander of the 770th Air Expeditionary Advisory Squadron and the Coalition Air Force Transition Team, said the progress is obvious when one looks at the numbers. Quote, "To put it in context, last year, this wing flew a total of 300 hours. Most of those hours were on a couple of these jet rangers. Last month, they flew 200 hours just in the Huey 2 alone. So far, they've got about 700 hours on the aircraft, and they've only really been flying them since the end of February, 1st of March," unquote. Along with keeping a watchful eye over the power lines, the Iraqi Air Force also has moved soldiers, dignitaries, and visitors across Iraq. Bartlett noted, quote, "They've moved about 500 passengers so far this year," unquote. If you're keeping track, there are now 57 light sport aircraft available in the U.S., to serve a market which has bought just over 1,000 planes total in 2 years. It's no wonder many observers feel a shakeout is imminent, especially with big names like Cessna and Cirrus entering the arena. But Higher Class Aviation Incorporated of Ramona, California, believes its new Sport Hornet will have a big advantage over its more established competition. Price. The basic Sport Pilot version of the Sport Hornet, equipped for day VFR use, will sell for just under $54,000, and the night IFR-equipped version for under $65,000. Company President Robert Gaither says his plane comes much closer to what was expected by pilots when the light sport rule was established in 2005. Quote, "We are proud of the fact that flight schools can put two Sport Hornets on the flight line for about the same cost of only one of the many imported SLSAs," unquote. As ANN reported, the Sport Hornet is powered by a Rotax 912 mounted in pusher configuration and sports aluminum tube and polyfiber construction. The aircraft's dual spar wing is rated to pull 4 Gs. The aircraft also features air spring suspension on its landing gear and electric flaps and trim. It can also be equipped with BRS. Gaither adds, quote, "The Sport Hornet is the culmination of a 2-year adventure that took one of the best ultralight type aircraft ever flown through the tough process of meeting ASTM industry consensus standards. We have developed a sophisticated, high-performance airplane that is pure fun to fly," unquote. You have to be service-minded to volunteer in the Civil Air Patrol. Some Ohio members proved during recent floods there that they were willing to serve, even if it didn't mean flying. Heavy storms, rain, and wind pelted the region for days. With flooding threatening residents of northwestern Ohio, more than 40 Parma cadets responded to the need with a sandbagging mission. At least 25 tons of sand was bagged in Ottawa alone, and more was bagged in Paulding. Lieutenant Colonel Dick Newworth of the Defiance Area Composite Squadron, CAP Incident Commander, described the mission with two words, team effort. He said some of the cadets were only 13 or 14 years old. Local residents showed their appreciation by keeping the wing supplied with cold water, ice, hamburgers, and pizza. And finally, it's with sadness that AeroNews has learned that Dr. Paul McCready, internationally renowned and Caltech-trained scientist, innovator, and entrepreneur, founder and former chairman of the board of directors of AeroVironment Incorporated, passed away in his sleep Tuesday after a recent illness. His passing occurred less than 1 week after the 30th anniversary of one of his most notable accomplishments, the record-setting flight of his human-powered airplane, the Gossamer Condor. The feat led to Dr. McCready being nicknamed the father of human-powered flight. McCready also designed and built a follow-up airplane, the Gossamer Albatross, which completed a successful crossing of the English Channel in 1979. Led by McCready, AeroVironment later built the Gossamer Penguin, a variant of the Albatross that utilized solar panels mounted above the wing to power the one-seat aircraft's small electric motor. That slow and flimsy aircraft proved unable to cross the channel, but a larger, more substantial solar-powered plane, the Solar Challenger, completed a trip from Paris to Manston on July 7, 1981. The Los Angeles Times reports that McCready believed his success, including more than 30 prestigious awards and 5 honorary degrees, was probably due to a nerdy childhood. He was named Engineer of the Century by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers and selected Graduate of the Decade by the California Institute of Technology. He was named one of the 100 Greatest Minds of the 20th Century by Time Magazine. Plans for a private memorial service are pending. In recent talks and presentations around the world, he would leave his audiences with this quote. "Over billions of years, on a unique sphere, chance has painted a thin covering of life, complex, improbable, wonderful, and fragile. Suddenly, we humans, a recently arrived species no longer subject to the checks and balances inherent in nature, have grown in population, technology, and intelligence to a position of terrible power. We now wield the paintbrush," unquote. And that's the latest from AeroNews. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Jeff Grayson, who, along with some friends who were looking for work in the aerospace industry, started a kitchen table business called X-Core Aerospace in 1999. In June of this year, the company made Inc. Magazine's list of the 500 fastest-growing companies. And if you haven't gotten around to it, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Wield that paintbrush carefully and have a clear and unlimited day.